Blog Talk Radio. We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that he's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel, the gospel. But I'm willing to give.
gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, praise God. I'm so happy. I had to join Sister Janet when she was finishing. I had to join in because I feel her sentiments. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like the gospel in all of the world, absolutely nothing. I want to invite our listening audience tonight to Reaching Out Radio with Sister Pearl in the Word. What a glorious opportunity for me to be with you tonight from wherever you're listening, whether it's here in the United States or any place around the world. I just want to greet you in the name that's higher above every other name, the name that soothes our sorrows, the name that calms our fears, the name that dries up every one of our tears, the name that demons tremble at the sound of that name. I just want to thank God for you and welcome you tonight to, again, In the Word with Sister Pearl on Reaching Out Radio. I want to give a big shout out to Evangelist Montel Fields and that whole Fields family. Thank God for you. Thank God for your vision, Sister Montel. Thank God for your heart to reach the lost. We want to bless you in Jesus' name. And so I want to thank all of our listeners to tonight's program. We're discussing about the Gospels. But, you know, as I was praying about tonight's program, I really think I want to just step back just for a while before we continue in the Gospels. I want to step back because I realize, and I believe the Spirit of the Lord was reminding me, that there might be so many people listening, and you're wondering, well, why do we even need Jesus? Is Jesus really necessary? And for those that are not raised in the church or don't know about God, don't know about the things of God, many people might have that question. I mean, I was privileged to be more than once, at least twice in my life that I can remember. It could be more than twice, but I definitely remember at least twice in my life where I had the privilege to be the very, very first person to share the gospel with people who had never heard of the name of Jesus. And so, you know, many of us in the Western world, or even some of us in Asia, we take it for granted that everybody's heard about Jesus, everybody has heard about God and his love for them. But let me tell you, there's a lot of people, especially now, that really don't know. When we talk about Jesus, they're really clueless. So when we talk about the Gospels, we talk about the good news of Jesus Christ. But why do we need good news? I mean, don't we already have good news? Well, when I talk about good news, I don't mean good news that you won the lotto or good news that you're going to have a baby or a grandbaby, or good news, you've been approved for a home. I'm talking about something so much deeper and wider than that. The good news of the gospel. The gospel talks about the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, so why do we need Jesus? Well, before I continue to study the Gospels with you, I do want to, as I said earlier, I want to step back a little bit, especially for those who might be new to the things of God and not aware about your humanity as far as why you need God, why you need a Savior, why I need God, why I need a Savior. So let's just go back just a little bit to give some kind of a framework, lay groundwork, lay a foundation as to why the gospel in the first place. Why do we need Jesus? Why do we need the Word of God? Why do we need anything beyond ourselves? Well, if that's the question that we're going to tackle, and we're definitely going to tackle that tonight, then we have to go to the very beginning. And as I was reading 2 weeks ago from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John starts out by saying, in the beginning was the Word. And that Word is talking about the Logos Word. It's talking about a study of who is the Word. And when we talk about the Word, let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back all the way to Genesis chapter 1, really, really briefly. I'm going to try to give a very quick synopsis of why do we need God in the first place? Well, the Bible starts out by saying, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. So if you're like me, you're living on the earth. Wherever you're listening to tonight, you're still living on the earth. You're living on planet earth. The word of God gives us an understanding of how we got here, how you got here, how I got here. I remember that even in my elementary school and in my middle school, the conversation came up about evolution, about the fact that, well, not really a fact, that people teach it as if it were a fact. It's just a theory. It's called the evolution theory, but they do teach it in America like if it is a fact. If you go to a public school, they teach it like that is a known fact. And of course we know, and when you even question them, they do answer that it is a theory. It is not based on facts. But it's a theory, and it's a theory that Darwin, someone that was a scientist a long time ago, came up with, the evolution theory. So again, it's just his idea, his thoughts on how the world came to be. But I want you to know that we don't have to guess about how the world came to be, because we have the Word of God, and in the Word of God, it tells us very clearly, you and I have a creator. We're created by God. We are not just a blob that just all of a sudden happened and poops, here we are. We just came to be. No, the Word of God tells us in Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, the Holy Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So we know that you and I have been created by a wonderful God that loves us, that cares for us, and wants to have a relationship with us. So he created the heaven and the earth. He created the sun, the stars, the moon. He created the light separated from the dark. He created the day from the night. He created the firmament in the midst of the waters. He created the fish that's in the waters. He created the animals that walk upon the earth. He created all of those things. He created the fruits that we benefit from today, and the trees that bear those fruits. He created the seeds that are the beginning of a tree. All of these things, it came because of God. The Word of God says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And so that was God. And in verse 16, it says, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. That was all God. And then God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. He created the winged fowl after his kind. So all of that was created by a loving, very, very wise and a great God. You and I, very contrary to what the world tries to tell us, were not just created because of a big bang, and all of a sudden there was a big bang, and then you and I came to existence. That's just fallacy. That's just not reality. We were created by God Almighty. God Almighty, who is bigger than you and bigger than me. And he's the one that actually created a man and a woman. Let's just see where we can find that. That would be in Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, we see that God created man, created a woman. Now, I can go into the whole understanding of that chapter, but I really don't want to go into all of that. I invite all of you to please get a hold of a Holy Bible. Get into it. Maybe at another time I would teach about that, or one of the other wonderful hosts or hostesses on Reaching Out Radio will go into the depths of Genesis chapter 2 and how God created man. But I can read you this part from chapter 2 of Genesis and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So that's the beginning of our foundation. That's the beginning of our ancestors, how they were created by God. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. Well, if you fast forward and you continue to read on in this wonderful book called the Holy Bible, you'll find that in verse 18 of Genesis 2, that the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And then verse 19, and out of the ground, every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And so as you continue to read on, you see that God used Adam to name the different animals that we have in existence today. But then, with all of these animals, God said that, you know what? None of these are really an appropriate helpmeet or an appropriate companion for Adam. So in verse 21 of Genesis 2, it reads like this. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, now, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be, they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed because at that point, sin had not entered into the world. But then the Bible goes on to say in the third chapter of Genesis that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Let me just state this before we continue. In this world, as people that really don't have a foundation much in the Word of God and don't really understand anything about God, I want to take time tonight to explain why we need Jesus, why God's precious Word is so important for us. I want to explain that because we need to understand why I'm even studying the Gospels, why that is even necessary. We don't want to just do things glibly or do things, you know, haphazardly and not understand why we're doing what we're doing. And you need to ask yourself the same question. Why are you doing what you were doing? Those are some very good questions. So tonight we're doing this so that we can get an understanding of why we need Jesus. Amen. And so we find now that this woman, Eve, is being tempted of the serpent that was in the garden. And the serpent was more subtle than any other beast that was in the field. And he even misquoted. He asked Eve a question. Has God not said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, that's not verbatim what God said, but Eve explained to him what God did say. I'd like to take a little lesson from that tonight, and to encourage myself and to everybody that's listening on the Reaching Out Radio broadcast family, You and I do not need to pay attention to the devil. We do not need to give our ears over to him for him to spew whatever filth, whatever lie, and whatever torment he would like to do. So the serpent was trying to engage Eve in conversation. And sad to say, but he won out and the woman started to converse with him. I think that was the first mistake. That was the first mistake. You do not get into conversation with individuals that you don't need to get in conversation with. This was clearly an evil approach of Satan in the garden, because he started out by trying to lie on God. He started out by trying to say something derogatory about God and trying to challenge God in front of Eve. So when you have an individual like that, you don't really have to respond. Okay, just keep that in mind as we continue in our story. The woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, that we should not eat of. And then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Like God said, if you eat of that, you're going to die. But I'm going to tell you, you shall not surely die. Okay, number two, the enemy of our souls, which is Satan, the serpent, he always contradicts what God says in his word. If God says, turn right, the enemy will say, turn left. If God says, stand up, the enemy will say, no, sit down. So he'll always have something contrary to try to get you or me to believe in going against what God is saying. Okay? Keep that in mind. So that's just the way it is. Wherever you are, whatever culture you're coming from, it's always the same old story. The enemy has been around a very long time. He knows what works, and believe me, he's a master at deception. So the best thing I can encourage myself or anybody listening is do not entertain. When you know it's the enemy, do not entertain him. Don't give him any time of your day or your night. Okay, so he goes on to say, in verse 5, for God does know, or God knows, that in the day that you eat this fruit, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, first of all, who said that she wanted to be a god? However, he might have noticed something about Eve that maybe she thought more of herself than she should. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say it. And if the Bible doesn't say it, I definitely cannot inject that into the Bible. But he approached her by saying that if you eat of this fruit, you will be as a god, small g, and you will know the difference between good and evil. And so instead of this woman ignoring the serpent, unfortunately, she heeded his, and the Bible tells us in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, many times, many of us that have been in the Word of God or heard this story time and time again, for some reason, we get the picture that Eve was by herself in the garden with the serpent. But if you read what I just read, or if you listen to what I just read, and I'm going to read it one more time, the Bible clearly says, and so she took the fruit thereof, that's the last part of verse 6, Genesis 3, verse 6, she took the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. So what does that let us know? Well, it lets us know that the husband was with her during this time of temptation and at the time when she took the fruit and she ate of it. Now, you notice that verse 7 says the eyes of them both were opened. That's what I'm saying. They did this thing together. She didn't just eat it, unless the Bible says she ate it, and then her eyes were open, and she went to find her husband, and then he ate it, and then his eyes became open. No, it says in verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. See, they didn't know they were naked before. Before they sinned, they didn't even know that they were naked. And then they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Okay, this is why you and I need the gospel. Exactly. Take a look again, or listen if you don't have the Bible in front of you. Listen again as I read verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. The latter part of verse 7. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And up until Jesus' time of coming to the earth to give his life as a ransom for me and for you, that's what the world, in essence, has been doing. Sinning against the holy God, the only true and living God, sinning against him, and then trying now to see how we can cover ourselves, cover the sin, the filth, the degradation that we got ourselves into. Now we're going to try to work something, cover ourselves in the hopes of covering ourselves, and keep on our merry way. And so that's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. Instead of going to God and running to him, asking him for mercy, repenting on their knees before him on their face, no, they're going to try to cover up what they did. They're going to try to now to cover themselves, because now all of a sudden they realize that they're naked. They didn't even know they were naked before. They were up and down in the garden. They had no knowledge of them being naked. But now they know they're naked. Now they're going to try to protect themselves. They're going to try to cover themselves up, cover their nakedness. Word of God says in verse 8 of chapter 3 of Genesis, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, that's the first time that we read in Scripture where Adam and Eve felt to hide themselves from God. Prior to them sinning and partaking of that fruit that was on the tree that was forbidden, the only tree that was forbidden to them, I want to remind you, there were multiple trees in the garden, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of trees in the garden. And God allowed them to eat from all of those trees. The only tree he forbade them was that one tree, the tree that had the knowledge of good and evil. And so of that one tree, instead of just leaving it alone, they went straight to that one tree, partook of the fruit of that tree, and sinned against God, who is holy. So now they hear God coming. They hear his voice. He's coming in the garden, like he has always been accustomed to coming in the garden to meet with Adam and Eve from the time that he created them. But now they're broken fellowship with God. Now they're, instead of going to run to meet God, they're running to hide from God. And the Bible said, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Phenomenal. When we sin, we're never free. We're always on the run. We're always hiding because we already know that we've done the wrong thing. And so the Bible says that God said, he called Adam and he said, where are you, Adam? Where are you? And God went on to say, Adam went on to respond to God when God's saying, where are you? Where are you, Adam? Then Adam answers in verse 10 and says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Gave it away right then, because he had never hidden himself. He was always naked, and it was no big thing because he was not in sin, and he was pure. So it was fine for him to be up and down naked before the presence of the Lord. and before his wife, and his wife before him, because they were innocent. They were sinless up until that time. But from the time they partook of that fruit, that's when all the trouble hit. Now they know that they've done something wrong, and God's asking him, who told you, verse 11, that you are naked? And have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman that you gave to me, God, she gave me the tree. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So now it's the blame game. Now Adam is not standing up like the man that he is, but now he's going to point a finger at his wife. Interesting. He knew what God said about not partaking of that fruit. And yet when his wife did it, instead of saying, no, honey, I can't. I can't partake of that because that would go against the will of God. He didn't say that. He went right on along. Now, in our studies of the gospel, I just want to present to you, even before we get any further, that God, because he loves us, he loves you, he loves me, he will always prepare a way for us to get back to him, no matter how lost we become on our own. So now Adam is blaming his wife and saying that she made me eat it. Of course, we read nothing in that story about her holding a gun to his head, holding a knife in front of his chest. We hear nothing of that. We hear nothing of that because it didn't happen. But already he's blaming the wife. It's her fault. She made me do it. Okay. Then the woman said, it was a serpent who tricked me. He deceived me, and because of his deceiving me, I did eat it. So now Adam passes on the blame to his wife. His wife passes on the blame to the serpent, the wicked serpent that was in the garden. And God said unto the serpent, because you've done this, you're going to be cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly you will go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And when God is giving that decree, he doesn't mean just that particular serpent, but all of the descendants of the serpent, all of the evil that the enemy has to give, they're all going to be cursed. They all are going to be cursed. And God even went as far as to say in verse 15 of Genesis 3, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. That means I'll cause strife between you and that woman. And between your seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you will bring forth children, and your desire will be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Unto Adam, the Lord said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, eaten of the fruit which I commanded you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and dust thou art, and unto dust you shall return. Wow. So Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living things. All living human beings, of course. And unto Adam also. This is so tremendous. In verse 21, you see that the Lord God, since they're already naked, and now they're going to have to work and live a lot harder than was originally planned because of their disobedience. Look what God does in verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Oh, my goodness. What was it? I think it was in verse number seven. When Adam and Eve sinned, they took some fig leaves off of the fig tree, sewed them together, and made themselves aprons to cover their nakedness, because now they knew they were naked. But now, the Bible says that God himself took something else to cover them, because he felt that that covering that they made for themselves was never going to be good enough. So what did God do? And it's clear in verse 21. Also unto Adam and his wife did the Lord God make coat clothing. Well, if you're making a coat of skin, that means something must die to be able to get its skin off of them. That animal has got to be sacrificed so that the clothing can be made for Adam and Eve. You're not going to wear a living animal. That doesn't make any sense. You're not just going to take a calf and throw it on Adam and Eve. That thing must die. So of Genesis, the first time, an example of really God's heart and his way of going out of his way to make sure that you and I are brought in to safety with him. So instead of allowing these disobedient people to go around in those haphazard aprons that they made from fig leaves, God says, look, I'm going to clothe you. He didn't say that verbally, but basically that's what he did. God made them coats of skin, and he clothed them. So when we study the Bible, when we study the New Testament, when we study specifically the four Gospels, it's exactly like what happened. Kind tries to cover themselves in whatever they can try to make themselves look and feel respectable. And for Adam and Eve, it was to take the big leaves from the fig tree, sew them together, and cover themselves, cover their nakedness, so now they have clothing. But God, the Heavenly Father, he has much, much better in mind and in store for Adam, for Eve, and anyone that's in disobedience to God, all of us. Because the Word of God says all of us were shaped in sin, born in iniquity. That's because our original ancestors, our forefathers, are Adam and Eve. We all have the same ancestry, every last one of us, no matter what country we come from, no matter what dialect we speak or language we speak. We all have the same beginning. We all have the same ancestors at the very, 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 very beginning. And that's Adam and Eve, are our ancestors. And out from them came so, so many, 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 many tribes, nations, you name it, here we are. So the thing I want us to really zero in on tonight is that God made Adam and Eve coats of skins, and he clothed them. They disobeyed God by partaking of that fruit, that one tree, the only tree that he forbid them to partake of. All the other trees probably were bending over with so much weight because of the ripe fruits on them. Yet when you're in sin, you ignore all of that. And you go for something much worse, much less satisfying. So, but God's way is so different. God knew that Adam and Eve sinned. He was not happy with their sin. But now he's still going out of his way to clothe them. And he's not just clothing them with leaves from another tree or additional fig leaves. Now he's killing something so that he can get the skin of it, make a coat for them, make two coats, and then let them wear this thing. That's the heart. Did you get that? That's the heart of our Savior. That's the heart of our Messiah King. We'll go all out to save us, even though we're the ones who are dead wrong. And so when we talk about the Gospels, when we talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're talking about Jesus giving himself as a sacrifice because of my sin, because of your sin. So So when we talk about the Gospels and we study the Gospels, that's what the Gospels is all about. Because apart from God, I just gave you one simple story with Adam and Eve and how they sinned against the Holy God. But trust me, if it wasn't Adam and Eve, it'll be one of us doing the exact same thing. Because our nature is to sin. Our nature sometimes is to do the wrong thing, sometimes. So, you know, we need a Savior badly. Not only do we need a Savior, we need a Savior real bad. We really need a Savior badly. And we can see that this is the heart of God. We go astray, and then God buys us back. God redeems us. That's what the word redeems means, to buy back. We went and left our houses. We went and left our parents' secure home and environment to do our own things. But thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. So I can give you example after example after example after example of stories in the Old Testament where the people tried their best to follow God. They tried to live for God. They tried to honor God in the request, the few requests that he had. They tried their best to live a life that they feel would be pleasing. But guess what? After all of the different stories in Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and all the stories in Joshua and Judges and all the different stories in the world, still find that men and women always wind up sinning. Because we don't follow God because of how many good rules we can follow. Please let me make that statement very clear. We do not follow God because of how, you know, how good we think we are and trying to follow. Oh, I think I could, I'm going to become a nice person. I'm going to live a nice Christian life. I'm going to try to follow all these rules and try to follow all these regulations, and then maybe God will accept me. Well, let me just say to myself and to those that are listening and reaching out radio, we can do all kinds of things. We can even stand up on our head. If it were possible for us to do, we can do all of the nice things and, you know, try to feed the poor and the hungry and you know, try to help them as much as we can. But you know what? At the end of the day, that's not what's going to get us into a right relationship with God. So why are the Gospels important? Because the Gospels, again, tell us about the birth, the life, the death, the burial, and hallelujah, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because apart from God, we don't have what it takes to follow him. We're not that bright. We're not that strong. We're not that good. You and I need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. In the times of Adam and Eve, they needed a Savior, and thank God, God did rescue them. That's why he took it upon himself to give them a coat made of skins. And it says, and clothed them. That means he clothed them. So why do we need to study the Gospels? Why do we need the New Testament? Why? Because mankind had been living their own way, their own life to satisfy their own selves for decades. And still failing, no matter how much money they accrue, no how much you know can afford to buy. Without Christ, it's all empty. Without Christ, it's all just vanities. Without Christ, it makes no sense, and it's not worthwhile. So we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And in the same way that God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, if we don't get it right, come before a holy God and acknowledge our total dependency upon him, guess what? We get thrown out too. And this is called hell. hell is a place where you're totally separated from God. There's no more opportunity to pray and you know, cry out to God for him to help you. Because when God says time is over, it's over. That's it. No more chances. So I would encourage everybody listening on Reaching Out Radio, now that you have a little bit of a foundation, a little bit of a background, and you know, something just small to start you off with, you're going to learn more as we listen to God's word during the next Sunday nights, and as we you know, explore them and try to get as much from them as the Holy Spirit would give to us. You will find out that from the very beginning, from Genesis, when you and I make a mistake, or to be more frank, when you and I sin against the Holy God and go our own way and do our own thing and don't follow God's precept, don't follow his ways, it's going to wind up in devastation. It's going to wind up in us getting, quote-unquote, thrown out of whatever God really had in mind for us. It's called being distracted. So you see now, from even the first couple of books in the Word of God, that God is the one who sees us when we sin. The same God is trying to help us by hiding, by covering it with the blood of Jesus. So why is it important for Jesus? Because he's our covering. We don't need the fig leaves. The Lord Jesus Christ is our divine covering. Amen. And he takes care of us like no one else can take care of us. Such a wonderful, wonderful God that we serve. So again, just to answer your question, even though I don't hear you asking, but I can just imagine. So why did we go through all of this Genesis if we're trying to get into the study of the Gospels? Why? Because I'm laying foundation. We don't get a good sense and respect what we have if we don't know the source of it, if we don't get the beginning of it. And so tonight I'm giving you the beginning from Genesis. Genesis lets us know that apart from God, we go astray. Well, how do you know that? Well, I just read it to you. Here goes, you know, Adam and Eve doing their own thing and then get blown away. That means, it's just an American expression, they get pushed to the side. Pushed to the side when they don't go God's way. And that's the other thing I want to leave with you tonight. God's ways are always the best way. You and I might be so sure that we have this plan and we want to work the plan and we're going to be doing this and we'll be better at this and we're going to do that. And it's not about what we're going to do. It's about what God accepts. It's not about if I put myself in a cause for a hot minute. It's not about that, because God does not accept that. It's about finding what pleases the Lord's heart and follow through on that, basically. So that's why I wanted to step back tonight and give you a brief story of why we need Jesus, why we need the Word of God, why do we need any of this? Why do we need that? We need it because apart from God, we can't do anything that's good. Might sound good, but it's not good. Might sound legitimate, but it's not legitimate. Hallelujah. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. I think maybe I might ask Evangelist Montel to play that song the next time. People need the Lord, and that's why we're going to be studying the Gospels. Because it's only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we even have a right to come close to God, that we have a right to even stand before his presence. It's all because of Jesus and what he's done. So again, that's the Gospels, the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you always hear my voice go up in gratitude, because I am very grateful that God would leave the splendors of heaven to come down, pay the price, the heavy, heavy penalty for my sin and for your sin. That is what I call deep. Deep. Dear Lord, help us, Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord God. I pray for our listening audience. I pray, Lord God, for every man and every woman, every young girl, every young boy, and our teenagers that might be listening in tonight, or young adults and or newly married. I pray, oh God, that number one, that we would obey you with everything inside of us. Help us follow you wholeheartedly, dear Lord. Help us to follow you with a whole clean heart, oh God. Please, Lord Jesus, help us to know how much we need you, Father, because if we don't know how much we need you, then we don't cry out to you. Help us to understand that even from the very foundation with the first man and the first woman, that they already sinned against you. And you yourself, when they realized that they were naked, you said, you know, this fig leaf stuff, that's not good enough. I'm going to give you a real robe. Dear Lord, words cannot convey how grateful I am to you, how grateful we are to you, Lord God, that you would send your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come and to ransom us and to rescue us, oh God. Rescue us from our own selves destroying ourselves. It's not only the enemy. It's not only Satan. Satan was used, but it was because of our disobedience. It is because of Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden and things that happened in our life. It's because of our disobedience. Not everything, but a lot of the trouble that we get into is because of our own going away and doing our own thing, writing our own destiny, you know, writing our own agenda, making up our own program. Thank you, Lord God. Just as you. And we're driving this point home because we want everybody at Reaching Out Radio to understand this. In the same way that God gave them a better covering than what they were using to cover themselves, which was fig leaves sewn together, and God himself gave them skins, a coat of skins to wear, and he clothed them. It is clear, God, we need to let you have your way, because our way can never match up to your way. Our way is cheap. Our way is flimsy, like those fig leaves that Adam and Eve were sewing together. What you have is so much better, so much richer, so much higher, so much more, worth more. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, oh God. Thank you for that. Thank you that you have our best intentions at heart. And that's how come we love to listen to you. We love to, we just love to learn of you. We love to follow you. We love to talk like you. We want to walk like you. We want to be like you. We want to think like you. We want to do the things that you do. And we want to imitate who you are, but not in a mocking sense, in a wonderful way, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And now with that as laying a little bit more of a better groundwork, now we can better go and study the Gospels and find out who is this Jesus that Matthew talks about? Who is this Jesus that Mark talks about? Who is this Jesus that Luke talks about? And who is this divine shepherd, the way, the truth, the life? Who is this that John loves so highly? It's you, Jesus. It's you. And I just want to stop and say that we appreciate you more than words can say. We love you. We love you. We love you. We're so grateful to you that you have our very best at heart. Not only did you cover our ancestors with coats of skin, but now in the New Testament, you did even more than that. Now you came in the person of Jesus, and you can have a right to the tree of life. We can have a right to heaven. We can be citizens of heaven because of what Jesus has done for us. Wow. Wow, Lord. I pray that if there's anyone listening to Reaching Out Radio on this program tonight, Lord God, whether they listen live or they listen by on demand, our links, Father, just captivate the hearts now. Captivate the hearts, Lord God, to turn them towards you. We don't want to be religious. We want to have relationship with you, dear God. A real relationship, a vital relationship, not just to vain religion. Thank you, Lord. Father, bless everyone that's listening. Bless them to have a hunger and a thirst for you. Bless them to remember that you want better for them than what they want for themselves. Awesome God that you are. And so next week, let me go back into the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then the Gospel of John, which differs very greatly from the first three. The emphasis differs. God, help us to be having hungry hearts, to be receptive, to apply your word when we understand your word, to apply it, Lord God, and to reach out to someone else and let them know there's hope and there's even new life in Jesus Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel. There's new life through Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, everything has become new again because of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of our listening audience. Bless them abundantly, and let them have a blessed week, a blessed time until the next time we come together on Reaching Out Radio with your sister Pearl. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.